Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you've count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
All my bets were safe. It just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome into another Behind the Bets podcast. Back to our regularly scheduled time of Thursdays after last week's Thanksgiving holiday. Hope everyone had an awesome and safe holiday weekend. Travis, good to have you back in the hot seat. I know we did the college podcast yesterday, and we're ready for more in the home stretch of the NFL season here.
It's the home stretch, and as a Cowboys fan, I'm just
ready for
this to be done.
Ooh. So Ohio State's treating you well. Cowboys, not so much.
Yeah, Ohio State's treating me amazing right now. Football's on the way to the playoffs. Basketball knocks off North Carolina, and then there's the Cowboys.
Yeah, Cowboys, not so much. But there's still time, and thankfully they play in the same division as the Eagles, Giants, and Redskins, so you're okay. You could be easily be playoff bound,
but hey, Jerry, do the right thing.
You're in first place. Oh, so you're saying you want Jason Garrett out?
Yep. Lincoln Riley, offer him whatever he wants.
Well, I think that's conventional wisdom would suggest that is the process, or that's at least the part of the thought process. But we'll see. We shall see. Okay, John Murray coming up. Mike Clay on the back end. He's back from Thanksgiving, has two props, one of which I really like. So let's get to it.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
He's back for more after feeding us some good stuff last week on the podcast. I want to get into everything, but first, nicely done on the Bears line movement with David Blau eventually getting the start, Mr. Director. And I'm disappointed I didn't capitalize on the bonanza, but nonetheless, a lot of us capitalized off air.
Yeah, that could have been a good middle opportunity, too. If you laid 2.5 or laid 3 with Chicago, you could have taken back 5.5 or 6 with Detroit the morning of the game. Bears ended up winning that game by 4. The Lions were ahead for a lot of that game, though. So it wasn't never easy when you bet on Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky.
Well, it's just never easy when you bet in the NFL. That's the way it goes, and it is volatile. And even Sunday night, some of us had a Brady prop over 1.5. Passing touchdowns. I know Mike Clay was on over 25.5 completions, and with all the garbage time and all that, my prop got there. His got, you know, with the drops and everything, could have easily gotten there without those. So a lot of volatility in the NFL. So how did we do Monday night, where the Seahawks continue to deliver?
The book got really beat up badly on that game. I mean, really everybody was on Seattle. We were already pretty stuck on Seattle. We had a house player come in. He bet 41,000 on the Seahawks, -2.5, -120 a few hours before kickoff. And we pretty much took it on the chin in that game. No way to sugarcoat it there. Seattle in the over was a very bad outcome for us.
Why do you think Seattle's been so strong against the number? Like, I'm kind of mad I didn't fire on Seattle last week, just given the situation. I think they're much better than people give them credit for. Mm-hmm. And we know about Kirk Cousins. Now, he did well against Dallas earlier this year in prime time, but it's a little woulda, coulda, shoulda, but I'm disappointed with myself.
I think there's a lot of people on my side of the counter, and I'm including myself in this, that just don't really believe in Seattle and just keep expecting them to falter, and they keep winning. So, yeah, there's definitely been good value on the Seahawks because I think a lot of the odds makers and bookmakers around, at least in Nevada, just don't really think they're that good. And they just keep proving us wrong week after week. So, I mean, what can you say?
7-5 ATS, so not exactly cash cows, but they have won, it looks like, what, 9 of 10?
Well, they've been better on the road, too.
They're undefeated. That was my next point. They're undefeated on the road. That's not fluky. Good teams go undefeated on the road.
Oh, no, that's for sure. And they've been really impressive on the road. I liked Minnesota a lot in that game. I'm actually kind of glad that Seattle did kick that last field goal, because if they hadn't, I would have not pushed because of Dan Bailey's missed extra point. It should have been annoying. Although I actually thought it was a questionable call by Seattle to kick that field goal. Really, the only way they could have lost there was some sort of goofiness on the field goal, missing it or having it blocked or something. But everything worked out well for them in the end. Now they're 10-2, and now all of a sudden San Francisco's a wild card team because they didn't run the ball in overtime against Seattle on Monday night a few weeks earlier.
Which is something we all talked about at the time. And I, by the way, I agree with you. If I were running things, I would have done like a rollout safe pass with Russell Wilson or just a bootleg. I would not have attempted, but they did it and they got away with it. No big deal. I mean, both were obviously high probabilities to win the game.
Sure.
It is crazy.
Oh, I agree. They're probably going to win either way. I'm just saying, I just think that's too risky to kick the field goal there. We just saw the day before the Colts essentially lost their game to the Titans on a blocked field goal return for a touchdown. I understand that it's very unlikely, but it's also very unlikely that Minnesota could go 70 yards in 20 seconds needing a touchdown.
Yeah, just tell the Miami Dolphins and New England Patriots.
It could happen.
Last year, right? So this San Francisco thing is really interesting because, as you mentioned it, they were in the driver's seat for the one seed. Now they look like they're going to have to go on the road in week one of the postseason. And it really comes down to this weekend. And it's an awesome, awesome game in New Orleans. Horrible spot for the Niners, all things considered. Mm-hmm. And the line has come down a little bit. It's went from 3 to 2.5.
Yeah, we got about 3-1 ticket count on San Francisco here. We did
really?
Have a guy that I respect that yesterday did come in. He bet the limit on the Saints, -2.5, -110, pushed us to -2.5, -120. But the public is definitely backing the 49ers here, and I agree with you. It's a very tough schedule spot. The Niners just had a war in Baltimore last week. I read that they're staying on the East Coast. They're staying in Florida this week, and then they're going to the game, obviously, on Sunday to play the Saints. But it's a tough scheduling spot for San Francisco. They've had a really tough stretch of their schedule. We mentioned the Seattle game. They had that Sunday night game against Green Bay. Then they went at Baltimore. Now they go out to New Orleans. Got to think maybe eventually they'll run out of gas here.
Well, they did that between weeks 1 and 2 of the season. They opened the year at Tampa and at Cincinnati. And I believe they were in Ohio after the Tampa win. And they started the year, obviously, more than 2-0, but they won both those games.
Yeah.
I like New Orleans a lot in this game. And not that they're going to be a blowout, but I just think you have to lay the 2.5 at home here, given the scheduling spot. And the Saints are a pretty darn good football team and extra rest here.
Well, it's a critical game for both teams, but I do think that eventually the NFC West and the other bye besides the one that New Orleans will likely have will come down to the game on December 29th, San Francisco at Seattle. Probably will decide the NFC West, but certainly this is a critical game for them.
All right, let's go to tonight's game, Dallas and Chicago. Cowboys kind of pushed around. I didn't catch the entire game. I was with family, but very impressive win by the Bills in Big D. Jerry Jones giving the dreaded vote of confidence to Jason Garrett. And Cowboys laying 3 here. I guess I can grasp the line here. That makes sense.
My family always enjoys watching the Cowboys lose on Thanksgiving. So whenever that does happen, everybody's around the TV laughing at that. And that was, Buffalo really just totally muscled them around. Dallas went down the field, scored a touchdown, went up 7-0, and then Buffalo just dominated the game from then on. I thought it was a coming out party of sorts for Josh Allen. He looked incredible in that game. Buffalo's defense was great. Dallas, about the only thing I can say for them positive right now is Philadelphia lost to Miami, so they maintained a one-game lead in the NFC East. They still have the inside track to a division title in that 4 seed. As far as tonight's game is concerned, everybody's on the Cowboys. About a 4-1 ticket count here. We'll definitely need Chicago in this game.
Speaking of the holidays and watching the Cowboys lose, do you have a new addition to the family?
Oh, my brother's dog?
Yes.
Yeah, my brother's new dog, Jefferson. Yeah, he very excited. His first Thanksgiving, Dallas goes down in smoke.
Very Washington, D.C. name there for that dog.
Yeah, I try to explain to my brothers. You know, my brother's a big Virginia Tech grad. He hates the University of Virginia because he's a VT guy. And try to explain to him, do you know who founded the University of Virginia? I don't know what he's doing. But I'm going to let him live his life. Jefferson, a very cute addition to the family, no doubt about that.
What kind of dog? You got to let our listeners know.
I think it's a golden retriever, okay. I believe is what he is.
How's the old guy? How's the old guy doing?
He's hanging in there. He was in a very festive mood on Thanksgiving, man. He was letting everybody hold him. I think Thanksgiving's his favorite holiday. I may or may not have slipped him a little bit of turkey.
Yeah. How old are we looking at here?
17 and a half.
Oh, man.
And I slipped him quite a bit of turkey because I figured if I got him nice and tired, he would actually sit with me, and he did. So that was nice.
Good. All right. Well, I need to go.
None of us could stay awake for the – nobody could stay awake for the Saints-Falcons game, Doug. I mean, seriously, I don't know how you guys do it on the East Coast.
Dude, I was involved in the Egg Bowl. I mean, don't get me started. I had the plus two, and we got there with ease, right?
Oh yeah. No, I had a bet on Ole Miss myself. Never in doubt, you know. Just another easy win to remember.
Very important note. What's the old dog's name? Murphy?
LeVar. He's named after LeVar Arrington.
Okay, excuse me. Why did I say Murphy? I don't know. Okay. All right, let's keep it moving to we go from LeVar to Lamar. Big game at the Ralph in Buffalo, and it's obviously a giant flat spot for the Baltimore Ravens, but I just can't fade them. I mean, the weather played a big factor. I was on the Niners last week, but I just don't know if I can grab the points here with Buffalo, even though they got the better, longer rest, and it's the flat spot and all that, all those gambling axioms.
Yeah, this is a game we'll need Buffalo pretty big. I mean, I know Baltimore barely got out of that game last week against San Francisco, but that's not going to stop anybody from backing them this week against the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo, I think there's still some people that do doubt them just because they have played such an easy schedule and just because Josh Allen is so turnover prone, but I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be in a big rush to lay this many points with the Ravens on the road right now. Buffalo is such a well-coached team, man. They very rarely make any mistakes other than the Josh Allen turnovers. The coaching staff seems to pretty much always make the right moves.
I really like this Bills team, and you can say all you want about the schedule. We've talked about proving the naysayers wrong, but, you know, they've beaten teams on their schedule. They've only lost a few games, and it's at Cleveland. Right? Home to the Eagles and then New England when Allen got hurt. So I don't know what you want in the NFL from these teams. I mean, they went on the road and beat Dallas. Solid, solid win. And they've taken care of business elsewhere. They won at Tennessee. Now, that was with Mariota playing. But, I mean, this team's pretty solid.
Oh, they're very solid. But they are much better defensively against the pass than they are against the run.
True.
So keep that in mind because obviously Baltimore likes to run the football with Lamar Jackson. And you never know when Lamar Jackson might just go wild as we've seen him do so many times this year.
If your life depended on it, forget the odds, who would you pick to win it all?
If I had to pick one team right now in the NFL to win it all, yeah. God, it'd be tough. I don't know. I guess I'd probably go with the Saints because I think they're going to have a bye, and I trust their defense. But I wouldn't actually bet any money on that.
Yeah, because of the AFC versus the NFC being the combined probability, I would take Baltimore probably. But I think the Saints are the best team in the NFL on a neutral.
I don't have a problem with the Baltimore pick. I just like how many
easier
times
path
am I gonna go
kind
against,
of thing.
How many times am I going to go against Belichick in the postseason in this one lifetime that I have? I don't know that I can do it again. I don't think I have the strength for it.
Well, I'm curious to get your thoughts on the Patriots. We will as we move along here in the rotation. Your Redskins on the road at Green Bay. Packers minus 13.
Everybody's going to.
By the way,
the
Green Bay line last week was just a gift from the gods. I mean, what is that line? How is that line not at least 7, let alone not 10?
You know, we had a really respected group bet the Giants in that game.
Wow.
I mean, obviously, the book needed the Giants huge. Everybody was on Green Bay. I think it was our most one-sided ticket count of the week in the NFL, if I remember correctly. But there was some respected money on New York there. Packers crushed them. The Giants are just awful. I got to think there's going to be a total overhaul of the front office and the coaching staff for that team. As far as this game this week, everybody's on Green Bay. No surprise there. No one's really looking to bet on Washington. I know they're on a 2-game winning streak, but nobody's really in a rush to bet on them on the road against the Green Bay Packers.
No, I wouldn't be either. This line, though, is not making me rush to bet on Green Bay either, so it's a pass for me. Houston gets the nice win on Sunday night, and it's just a strange game all around. I'm not convinced the Texans are that great. Broncos in town. I don't think Drew Lock is very good. I would look to it'd be Houston or pass for me here at 9.
Yeah, we got Houston minus 9. It's about a 5-1 ticket count on the Texans. I kind of would lean to Denver here, but I'm not going to play this game personally, and I don't have any sharp money to report here. It's just I never trust the Texans. I know they're coming off of a great win on Sunday night, but I never trust the Texans, especially when they're at home and especially when they're laying points.
Yeah, I'm just convinced Locke's not that good. He burned me last week, so I'm chasing my money back. We'll skip the New Orleans game because we already covered that. Cincy, Cleveland, I think this is a great spot for the Bengals. Look, the Browns are a disaster, okay? Freddie Kitchens is a meathead, and he's in way over his head. And with the T-shirt thing, they went all in last week. I don't think they have necessarily professional locker room to sort of keep the train on the tracks. I think this thing's going off the rails, and I'm disappointed the Bengals won. I wish they were still winless here, but I'll grab the 8 here.
Have you asked Matt Eumanns his opinion of Freddie Kitchens?
Oh, no. He thinks he's – I mean, I've heard him bits and pieces.
You might want to tee him up with that. Now, Freddie Kitchens is doing about as bad of a job as you could ever do coaching the Browns this year, considering the level of talent in that locker room. Totally dysfunctional team. We actually, just as we were recording, we just took a limit bet on the Bengals plus 8, knocked us down to Bengals plus 7.5. We started this game at 9.5.
Yeah.
So the money's been coming in all week on the Bengals. The number's been going down all week. The Bengals actually look like a borderline professional football team last week with Andy Dalton back in their quarterback. And I totally agree with your assessment of the Browns. They are a disaster. And they're going to have to make a move at the end of this year, Doug. They cannot waste another season of this roster on Freddie Kitchens. I know it's hard to pull the trigger after 1 year with a head coach, but they have to do it. They need strong leadership in there to recognize that this guy's not the guy. They got to fire him, and they got to get a real coach for next season.
I'm inclined to think they got to get the guy who just fired yesterday, Ron Rivera. I mean, if you want a team that needs professionalism and sort of mentorship and a guy who's going to be a glue for a locker room, I mean, I think that's the guy you need. Now, is there some hot young assistant coming up and all this stuff? Maybe, and I don't know the whole coaching pool. But basically, Kitchens is the anti-Ron Rivera.
I don't know that they need a hot young assistant. I think the talent level is high enough there that they don't need a lot of, like, gadget plays and tricks. They just need somebody that's going to keep everybody accountable.
Right.
So I don't have a problem at all with the Ron Rivera suggestion. In fact, I think it's a really good suggestion. They need somebody that's going to be a leader, that's going to hold the team together. They need a guy like Mike Tomlin. Tomlin would be a great fit in Cleveland. And the fact that the Steelers just beat the Browns a couple weeks ago with their third-string quarterback, the most talented Browns team in 15 years probably, that says a lot about Mike Tomlin and says a lot more about Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah, no, it was, I wrote this about the Bucks-Jags game for ESPN.com's chalk section. I was on the Bucks because the Jags have demonstrated, I mean, they have, what, 4 straight blowouts now, but at the time it had been 3, and there was no reason for optimism come December that this team would sort of stay intact, demonstrate maturity. Like, no, they're a loose locker room. They're a bunch of, you know, we've seen in the past fighting with fans and other stuff out there in Jacksonville. I don't think Cleveland is sort of going for, hey, let's finish strong here for next year. I don't think they have that sort of leadership that I think this is, you know. Now, the talent gap, if the talent takes over, obviously they cover this 8. But I like the Bengals as long as it's not a flat spot for Cincy here coming off their first win of the year.
Well, there's the talent level in Cleveland, I don't think anybody will ever question that.
Right.
And certainly, you're right, all things being equal, they should be able to pretty easily take care of this Bengals team. But we've seen this Browns team underachieve almost every week this season. I mean, maybe that one game where they won against Baltimore is the only week out of, what, 12, where it all really came together for them.
Let's go to Carolina at Atlanta. So Ron Rivera's old team, a little shakeup. Yeah. It's always interesting to see how teams respond after a coach is fired midseason. Falcons obviously have played well in the last month or so. Did not cover, obviously, against the Saints. It's a pass for me, but I would look at Carolina plus the points. But this is also a team that's lost 4 straight. Kyle Allen's come back to earth. It's not really a team I'm eager to back either.
We have, like, no volume on this game. I mean, I'll tell you right now, if you came in here right now, DK, and you bet the Panthers, you'd be the first person with a straight bet ticket on the Carolina Panthers here at the Westgate Superbook. Certainly the Panthers are involved in a number of parlays, but not one straight ticket written on Carolina yet. This looks like, for sure, the lowest volume game of the day in the NFL. just no betting interest here at all.
By the way, I want to go back to a few seconds ago. You mentioned you took a limit bet on Cincinnati. What is a limit bet on Thursday?
NFL 10,000.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Okay. Pass on the Atlanta. We're done with that game. We've already spent too much time. Detroit at Minnesota. Vikings. You know, got to get back on track. There's no time to kind of whine about the Monday night thing. Dalvin Cook, obviously people monitoring his health. And are we still looking at David Blau for the Lions?
Yeah, you got to think David Blau is going to go for the Lions. That's why Minnesota is a 13-point favorite in this game. You know, I thought David Blau actually looked decent on Thanksgiving against the Bears. You know, if you think back to that game, the Bears went right down the field, scored a touchdown. They're up 7-0. Lions get into a 3rd and 10, and I was just sitting there like, oh, my God, the Bears are going to absolutely kill these guys. And then David Blau throws an 80-yard touchdown pass to tie it at 7. And from there on, he actually played pretty well. Yeah, he played pretty well. I mean, you got to give him some credit, kind of thrust into the lineup. But, you know, this is a tough spot for him. Of course, Minnesota has been so good at home. Everybody knows that. Big difference, though, Minnesota played a road game on Monday night, and the Lions have been off since Thursday morning or early afternoon, depending on where you live. So a lot of extra time to prepare for this game for the Lions. I just don't think it's going to matter.
Yeah, it is compelling in a lot of ways. In divisional game, lane 13 is always tough in December. I don't think I could lay the 13. Probably Detroit or pass for me. And
well, you've got these five teams in the NFC that are jockeying for, you know, playoff position. Minnesota getting a bye is a bit of a stretch, but they could still catch Green Bay for the division. Minnesota absolutely has to win this game if they want any chance of keeping pace with Green Bay, or let alone getting a first-round bye.
And Murray, I'm still alive in a survivor pool, and I have a few options here.
Really?
Well, hold on. Let's clarify. If there's only a few people left and everyone loses, that means everyone advances.
Right,
right. So we're on our third version of the current pool. So last week we all had Carolina. We all advanced. I think this week's going to be different. I have Green Bay available. Some others don't. So there's going to be some diversity with our picks, and maybe a couple people get eliminated. I don't know. It has been fun, and a couple guys want to chop, and I'm like, nope. Because there's like five or six of us left. I'm like, it's three. So
you don't seem like the kind of guy that chops, Doug.
No, I said, sorry, you need 100% agreement if you're going to do something like that, change rules or whatever. Yeah. You know, like you can't just like change the rules mid-season without getting 100% unanimous sort of side agreement. But that Minnesota game could be interesting in my survivor pool. And for those out there, too, we have a daily wager one we did. We started, it was 31 people left as of like 2 weeks ago. So I don't know what's left now.
I haven't done a survivor pool in a long time.
Oh,
but I think the years that I did it, I don't remember ever lasting till, what is this, week 14?
Yeah, I think this is the deepest I've lasted.
I don't think I've ever made it this far.
Let's go to the red hot Miami Dolphins. Catching 5.5. This seems like a high number here. It's Dolphins or pass for me, but I'm a little worried that everyone's going to take Miami now that they're 3-2 ATS in their last five.
I feel like we never know what the hell we're going to get from the Jets. You know, seriously, like they had that great win over Dallas. Then they just fell off the earth for a few weeks. They come back. They win three games in a row. They put up 34 points 3 weeks in a row. And then they go out and they get crushed by the Bengals on Sunday. I put it all on the coach, Adam Gase. I just don't think he's a good coach at all. And I think he's kind of like Freddie Kitchens. I think the Jets are wasting a roster that has a little bit more talent than people realize it does on a very bad coach. I'm not saying the Jets have as much talent as Cleveland. I'm just saying I think the Jets should be doing a little bit better than they are. This game on Sunday, very split action here. Jets -5.5, total of 45. As of right now, we have no decision on this game.
A couple things. I said 3-2 ATS in their last five. They're actually 3-2 straight up in their last five, and they've covered 6 of 7 or something ridiculous, have the Dolphins. They did not cover two games. So what is this?
The Dolphins are playing too good,
six
man.
6-2
they're
in their last eight.
Pick, yeah.
Oh, they've completely blown it. We thought they were tanking, and they're not.
I know a guy that bet them under 3.5 wins after the first two weeks of the season, and he thought the bet was an absolute lock, just laughable lock. And now look at it. Now it's very dicey.
Yeah, I would say so, too. Going back to the Jets, in terms of you questioning Adam Gase, New York 1-9 straight up in their last 10 divisional games over the past two seasons. Now, Gase wasn't there last year, but something to keep in mind there.
Oh, I'm keeping it in mind. I think nothing of Gase, and I heard they already decided they're going to bring him back next year.
Wonderful. Well, that's what you need in that division. Beat the Patriots. You need Adam Gase.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, moving along. Indy at Tampa. Now, I like this Bucs team. I touched on it earlier. They've been competitive in every game. They really have. If you go look at all their scores, they've had a couple double-digit losses, obviously, but they have not rolled over or folded like a cheap suit, whatever cliche you want to use. Mm-hmm. You got Jameis Winston in the running for the dreaded triple crown, Murray. Passing yards leader, passing touchdowns leader, and interceptions leader. Did not throw a touchdown last week, so took a little bit of a hit in that race. Still time. But look, they've gone over a bunch. They had gone over 9 straight. I don't think they went over last week. And they're laying 3 here to an Indy team that I just think is shaky, man.
Jameis is my favorite guy in the league to watch, and I'm dead serious about that. You never know what you're going to get from him. I will say about this game, we had the look-ahead line, Tampa Bay -1. And right now you can get the Colts +3, a possible overreaction. The Colts really were in control of that Tennessee game last week. Couple missed field goals from Adam Vinatieri and then a blocked field goal return for a touchdown. Buccaneers are a very fun team, though. It's hard for me to go against them.
By the way, no Vinatieri this week. No Vinatieri this week.
I didn't even see that. They announced that this morning.
He's got a hammy or something, some injury. So.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Not performance-based, apparently. And the Bucs, 0-5 ATS at home this year. So they are a road warrior, if you're looking to.
They absolutely are a road warrior, and that was a – that was a side we saw a ton of sharp money on last week was Tampa Bay. I mean, Tampa Bay, there's tons of sharp money that came in on the Bucs, and they got all the way up to -3 on Sunday in Jacksonville.
I saw that. It was pick in midweek, and then it jumped to -3, and you know, it was obviously the right side. Jacksonville's got some issues. Are they going back to Minshew, right?
Yeah, they're going back to Gardner Minshew, and it looks like the Colts are going with Chase McLaughlin as their kicker.
Okay, noted. So, speaking of the Jags, they're at home with the Chargers, and I don't know how anyone can bet this game. Chargers laying 3 on the road here.
Yeah, so the look-ahead line on this game, we opened at Pick'em, and then we had money come in on the Chargers at pick, and then another group took Jacksonville +1, so kind of split there if you're looking for like an overreaction here. Right now we've got Chargers -3, -120 for this week. I mean, you can make a case to me that Jacksonville's probably a good bet given what the look-ahead line was, and considering the Chargers did just lose themselves last week against Denver. But the Chargers got a lot of their key defensive players back last week. They just need to move on from Phillip Rivers. The Chargers are a team that needs another complete overhaul of the coaching staff and the quarterback. I think they could be fine, though, because they really do have a lot of good players there.
You think the coaching staff needs to go, considering what happened last year? I mean, they went to the playoffs, you know, beat Baltimore on the road.
That's true. That was a great win for them. I don't know. I mean, they need to move on from Rivers. Maybe I'm being a little too harsh by mentioning the coaching staff, too. But clearly, Phillip Rivers, he really had a great career and really probably going to go down as an underappreciated quarterback. But it's time for them to move on.
I would agree with that. They're definitely going to draft or just figure it out in the offseason. Maybe, you know, there's jokes that Brady could go there or something like that. I have to see that to believe it.
Yeah, I don't believe for a second that Brady would ever play anywhere else. I don't think he could play anywhere else. I mean, Brady, I know we're about to talk about the Patriots game. Brady obviously is not playing well right now, but he could still run that Patriots offense with his eyes closed. He needs his receivers to do a better job of getting open. I don't know that Brady really could play anywhere else at this point in his career.
Well, speaking of which, what do you make of this line? Rematch of an AFC Championship game last year. I mean, the Patriots put up, I think, 80 points in 2 meetings last year with KC. They're laying 3 here, total 49.
Well, I like New England here, actually, and I know that kind of goes against – normally I pick against New England because normally I think the value is against New England, but this week I think it's shifted the other way. New England's coming off of a very poor performance on Sunday Night Football, game that I think the final score was 28-22, but it was actually kind of a misleading final score. Houston really beat them a lot worse than that, and Kansas City destroyed the Raiders on Sunday afternoon. The public is actually on the Chiefs here. It's about a – I would say about 65% of the tickets are on the Chiefs plus the 3. We'll probably need New England for a small amount. And I should tell you, we gave New England -3 to Mr. Brent Musburger yesterday on VSiN. That was our play of the week for Brent. I like New England here. I think it's a good spot to buy low on the Patriots. And I saw that trend everybody was tweeting about yesterday that, like, Edelman, the Patriots are 42-0 when Brady and Edelman are both in the lineup against AFC opponents or something like that. Did you see that one?
No, I did not.
It's something just absurd like that. I didn't have time to fact check it myself, but I'll just go ahead and take the internet's word for it. Yeah, well, Tom Brady and Julian Edelman will attempt to keep their incredible streak of never losing a game to an AFC opponent in the regular season at Gillette Stadium in a game they both played in. Currently 42-0.
Remarkable.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. I will say this. Andy Reid, 3-0 ATS against Belichick in the regular season while at Kansas City.
I should say also that last year we gave Brent the Patriots in this spot at home against the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, and Kansas City won that game.
Yeah, they couldn't stop them at all.
Yeah.
That was a big comeback. Remember we criticized New England's schedule so much this year? They're 1-4 ATS when facing a team that at the time had a winning record.
Well, New England's schedule, we pointed to this stretch early in the season. When we remember we put up that will the Patriots go undefeated prop, and we pointed to this exact stretch that they're in right now, this stretch of at Baltimore, at Philadelphia, Dallas, at Houston, and versus Kansas City. The stretch ends on Sunday, of course, but it's not a big surprise that they had a few losses here, potentially three losses if they lose on Sunday. It's a very, very tough scheduling spot for them.
Dan Orlovsky did a wonderful breakdown on Twitter and then also later on Daily Wager. Just how he just does not trust his receivers. He's doing hand signals to them. They're not understanding it. They just don't. No one's on the same page. It's just really thin options, especially with a limited running game as of late for the Patriots. So,
To be clear, it's not all Brady. I mean, the offensive line.
No, he's played well. He's played well, actually.
It's not all his fault. That's as far as I'll go. Because the offensive line's been really bad and. They're not running the ball at all, and his receivers aren't getting open. So anybody acting like it's all on Brady is incorrect, but he's clearly not the player he used to be.
That's fair, too. Okay, so the Steelers just keep winning somehow, relegated to a third-string quarterback, who I thought all along was better than Mason Rudolph, so it's about time they went to him. And they're laying 2.5 at Arizona, which laid an egg, but they had some illness in the locker room, if you believe some of the Kyle Murray reports. Not that you don't believe him, but, you know, depending on the degree of it. And then also, he vows to be, he's very upset. That was the report. He's very upset. He wants to play better this week.
You know, we opened this game on our 12-day number pick'em, and we had a sharp guy play Arizona pick. We moved to -1. We had another sharp guy play Arizona -1. And our look-ahead number actually closed Arizona -1.5. And now you can get the Cardinals +3 -120 here at the Superbook. We've still got a ticket count of about 8-1 on the Steelers. I think it's a good buy spot on the Cardinals. They had such a bad performance last week against the Rams. But, man, Mike Tomlin is just doing a phenomenal job in Pittsburgh, keeping that team together. So many good young players on that defense. They could potentially be sneaking into the playoffs with a third-string quarterback, and I think you got to give a lot of credit to Mike Tomlin if that happens.
Absolutely, he deserves it. He's been wonderful with this team. He demands what you were talking about with the Browns. He's the anti-Freddie Kitchens. So I would lean Arizona here. I see what you're saying in terms of the number line value, but, man, this team's, like, not that great.
No, they're not. But they're just not. I have nothing else.
Yeah.
No.
No, I hear you. I hear you. Speaking of a team that's playing wonderful, and Titans fan base loves chirping at me because I thought the season win total, the under with the Titans, was my favorite play. Sorry, I didn't think Marcus Mariota would be replaced by Joe Montana. I apologize.
Titans fan base chirps you? I mean, how many people is that? Just like a handful of people?
Well, no, they're pretty intense. Remember, it's SEC country down there, too. You know, they love their football.
True.
All these guys were chirping at me from beginning of the season were the same ones saying that how awesome Mariota is. It's like, all right, he stinks. That was part of my rationale. Now, I did know they had Tannehill on the roster, but I didn't think Tannehill would be that big of a difference maker here, and he has been.
Well, Tannehill's a guy I always used to joke about when he was in Miami. I never thought much of Ryan Tannehill. I also have never thought anything of Marcus Mariota, but you know, certainly you've got to give Tannehill tons of credit. I mean, the team has been completely rejuvenated with him in there. He's totally, I mean, picked up the ball that Marcus Mariota basically dropped, and he's got this Titans team potentially going into the postseason now. Now, we did see probably our most respected NFL bettor here at the Westgate took Oakland +3, -110.
Ooh.
And we're booking this game at Oakland +2 right now. Be kind of pointless for me to give you ticket count numbers because we're intentionally booking this game with a low number because we like the Raiders. But, yeah, a very respected player took Raiders +3 in this game.
I think I'm on the over in this game.
Yeah, we have the total at 47.5 right now. We did have a respected player go over 47.
Yeah.
Bumped us up by half a point here.
All six of Tannehill's starts have gone over the total, although I think that Chargers game would have gone under if it wasn't that stupid fourth down stop or anything, so you got to be careful there. I just think the offense has been such a significant upgrade with Tannehill versus Mariota.
There's no question, and you know, the Raiders, we're starting to see it. They played such a hard schedule at the beginning of the year, and we're starting to see them run out of gas here towards the end of the season, blown out the last 2 weeks, and the Titans are on a roll.
They really are. I think maybe a team total on Tennessee is the play, too. I think it would be about 25-ish, 24-ish, 24. So,
another possibility. The bonanza, everything's at your fingertips, Doug.
Yeah, we got to get into that. We'll get to that. Okay, Sunday night. Really interesting, just given how the previous game ended between the Rams and Seahawks, and now you have the Rams playing a little better of late. I don't know. This game's a pick, man, in L.A.,
well, the Rams played a lot better on Sunday. Obviously, they crushed the Cardinals on the road. Here in this game, Seattle pick them at the Rams. About a 3-1 ticket count on the Seahawks. I'm guessing it's going to be mostly Seahawks fans at the Coliseum, right? I mean, the Rams don't really have much in the way of a fan base, so I wouldn't really factor anything in there for home field. We'll need the Rams pretty big in this game. Last time we needed the Rams big in a primetime spot, didn't work out too well for us. The Ravens won like 100-0.
Yeah, that was a beat down and a half.
Oof, man.
Yeah, I think this Rams team is just mediocre. Like, we just got they're above average team, and they're going to have some good games, like when they get to play at Atlanta or at Arizona. But when they have to play the elite teams, like the Ravens, they're going to get smacked. And it just is what it is.
Yeah, it's tough in the NFC West. You've got to deal with the AFC North, which means the Ravens, of course, and then obviously you've got to deal with all those other top teams. Like, if you're the Cardinals, you got to play the Rams twice, the Niners twice, the Seahawks twice, and the Ravens. It's a pretty tough schedule. A tough schedule for the Rams this year, first-place schedule. And Jared Goff has just been exposed for what he really is, I think.
A skittish quarterback who's very rich because of what he picked up in the offseason.
Pretty much. But, you know, Sean McVay I still think is one of the top minds in the NFL. People are way too, like they react too strongly to everything. And when I hear people listing the top coaches in the NFL, nobody mentions McVay anymore. It's like he's just been completely forgotten. But I still think he's a top NFL head coach.
And there's a Super Bowl hangover is legit. I think there's some components to that, but I don't know, man. Okay.
He got schooled by Belichick in the Super Bowl, man. I mean, is it going to be a thing where he's just never the same after that game?
It's like a boxer who finally gets knocked out and the chin's never the same?
Because I'll forever say that the Rams team was more talented than the Patriots in that Super Bowl last year. No one will ever
Cooks dropped a touchdown.
Otherwise.
Cooks dropped a touchdown. Now, the Patriots
Belichick
just come back and won.
No, and I'm not taking anything away from the Patriots. Belichick is the man. He's the legend. But I still believe that the Rams had more talent player for player than New England did. Belichick just schooled the kid. That's all it was.
And there were no touchdowns in the first half. We'll never forget that prop.
Yeah, very true.
More with John Murray momentarily. But first, let me ask you, is there anything better than watching football? Of course there is. Watching football with a DraftKings lineup on the line. Especially this week, DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football, is giving new users a free shot at over $100,000 in prizes when you sign up with my code, Doug. That's D-O-U-G. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, throw, and catch mean more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Mike Clay is going to join us in a little bit. He has two props, one I really like, involving the Sunday night game with the Seahawks and Rams. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a completely free shot at over $100,000 in prizes. Download the DraftKings app now. New users enter code Doug at sign up to get a completely free shot at over $100,000 in prizes. Again, that's code Doug to get a totally free shot at $100,000 in prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Monday Night Football, just what America needs. Eli Manning.
Yeah, I haven't been able to make my typical Monday Night Football jokes the last like 3 weeks because there have been some really good Monday Night games. I think we had Seattle, San Francisco, and then the Baltimore Rams game, and then we had Minnesota, Seattle. So really good Monday Night games, all building up to this ridiculously awful Giants-Eagles game with Eli Manning at quarterback. We've got Philadelphia as a 9.5-point favorite. I think it's going to be funny to see Eli in there again. They asked me yesterday like what kind of adjustment we made. It's really like a 1 to 1.5-point adjustment in the point spread with Eli in there. With Philadelphia line going up. It's not because Danny Dimes is any good. He's been awful the last like 6 weeks. But Manning can't move. At least Danny Dimes gives you some ability to move around in the pocket, a little bit of mobility. I'll be happy to see Eli back in there. I kind of missed him.
Did you? I think it adds an intrigue. Fine. I mean, he knows the Eagles, a little bit more familiar with the defense. He's getting a couple weapons back, right? Ingram's back.
Yeah, I think Ingram and Sterling Shepard, I think, are both back. Pretty sure is what I read. So it's kind of unfortunate for Danny Dimes that he won't have those two guys to go with. But the Giants are just a mess. I mean, can you believe the Giants are actually behind Washington in the standings right now?
yeah, I can. They've lost, what, 8 straight now?
Yeah, they're 2-10.
Solid. Solid work out of them.
It's pretty bad. No, you know what? Sterling Shepard played last week. I guess it's just Ingram that they're getting back this week.
Right. Right. Okay, my man. You ready? The gap is narrowing. You ready?
It's Golden Tate is returning on Monday night. Excuse me. I'm always ready. I know I had a bad week last week, but I'll try to totally redeem myself this week.
All right, Lloyd Christmas.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. The Prince of Props did not deliver. Shocker.
Yeah, I got to defend him a little bit. We started drinking really early last Wednesday. I mean, we went out to watch a Champions League soccer game at like 3 p.m. Eastern, and that was just too early to get into the beers for the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving.
It's an aggressive move.
It was a long night, man. It was a long night. But yeah, he didn't come through, but I still have faith in him.
So it was Michael Thomas over what? Was it 105.5?
Yeah,
yards?
It was a big number. It was like 103.5, something like that.
So no dice there, and your Vikings +3 does not get there, even though they had a halftime lead. And my Giants laid down for the Pack. So the Pack, that line -6, we went a full dime there as well. I did not follow up with any other plays. So the gap is now narrowed. I forget what the margin is, but I'm a middle away from tying this thing up.
Yeah, we still have 4 more weeks before this regular season mercifully ends, and then we've got the whole postseason to go, right? We go all the way through the Super Bowl.
So that's what I was going to ask. Are we doing the postseason?
I'm pretty sure last year we went all the way through Super Bowl Sunday. I think there were some limitations as far as like you can't just say, okay, give me $50,000 on the Super Bowl because that would kind of ruin the whole point of like a bankroll thing. I'm pretty sure we went through the Super Bowl last year if I remember correctly.
Well, I'll go back and check it so we're not like surprising you week 17 after you make your plays or something like that. But
that's fine. Well, you're a very fair man. You're a very fair guy.
Yeah, you know me. So I have one play. How many plays do you have?
There's one that I'm definitely going to give, and I don't know. I'll let you go first, though. You're definitely on the tee box after my 0-2 performance last week.
Yeah, I've been kind of hot lately, last couple weeks, doing okay. So I see the best total for me is I'm going to go over 47.5 between Tennessee and Oakland. I think the Raiders team gets back on track. I heard on another podcast, and I agree, sort of the book is out on Derek Carr, that he just likes to go underneath. and won't throw deep. So I'm a little worried there, but this Titans team, man, Derrick Henry just ripping off 30-yard runs and all this other stuff. I'm going to go over 47.5, and I'm only going to go nickel, though. I don't like it as much as I did the Packers last week.
I'll tell you what, when Derrick Henry gets ahead of steam and he's running downhill, he is a monster, man. I mean, good luck tackling that guy.
He's like that big awesome kid in Pee Wee, right? He's just so much bigger than everyone. God. It's so funny.
Very impressive. I'm going to go to this one here, and I see I'm going to go play by our rules here. I see my friends at Caesars, Jeff Davis and the guys, they've got the Colts at +3/-105.
Nice.
So I'll save the 5 cents there. I'll take the Colts +3/-105 for 525 to win 500.
Okay. So that's not the pick you gave Mr. Musburger.
No, I'm going to give that one as well, unless you have another play.
No, for now, I got nothing.
I'm just going to keep it small, keep it safe this week. I'll go with New England -3/-110 for 550 to win 500. It's the pick that our group here at the Westgate gave to Mr. Musburger. Last week's pick was San Francisco +6 for the record. So I think I think we've actually given him a pretty good record this year. Although twice he hasn't played what we gave him.
Ooh, that's not
good. So I don't know exactly how he's doing overall, but I think for the most part we've been giving him more winners than losers. But well, there was that one tricky week where we wanted to give him the Jets because I just wasn't thinking, and of course I should have remembered that he can't play the Raiders games. If you remember that one, it was Raiders at Jets game.
Yeah, it was over when it started.
And that's my fault. I should have remembered that he won't play the Raiders games.
You don't know how he's doing in the Super Contest. How's Tuco?
No,
Tuco's back in the lead, right?
I think Tuco is back in the lead. I think he went 3-2 last week, if I remember correctly.
So we didn't mush him. We didn't mush him.
No. Tuco's a great name, too. Very funny.
Okay, my friend. Oh, I hope you had an awesome Thanksgiving. I like the addition to the family in Jefferson. Glad to know that LeVar is still doing well and still eating plentiful on Thanksgiving. And
he was eating like crazy on Thanksgiving, man. He can't really. It's funny though. He can't really see anything. So when I go to feed him, like I would feed him a piece of turkey, and he would like he couldn't really see it, but he could smell it, and he's just biting at the air until he finally happens to land in the right spot.
Something like we all do when we're handicapping, right? We just kind of pick games and hope to land in the right spot.
He was still very happy to see his family, and he was very happy to have a little extra turkey. So it was a good Thanksgiving for him as well.
Wonderful. Wonderful. All right, bud. Thanks so much.
All right, man. Talk to you next week.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
Nerd alert!
That means Mike Clay is in the house. How are you, sir? Did you have a happy Thanksgiving?
I did. How about you?
I did. I went to Boston, a nice time with the fam. My mom flew out, and another brother lives there, so we were all visiting him. It was good times.
Yeah.
You got burned on Sunday night with Tom Brady.
Or was it
lucky to even be in it?
A lot of garbage time. We did expect him to throw it a lot in the game, which was the plan, but the volume wasn't there early. It was slow, but it ended up close. I was out by one or two. Nonetheless, we're going to miss. We've been good as of late, so I'll take the occasional miss.
Yes, we have. And that happened. So, short card for you this weekend. Let's start with Thursday night. You got anything tonight?
I do. I'm going to go with David Montgomery, who, I mean, we've talked about him a lot. I feel like we have Montgomery every week. I'm going under 61.5.
I feel like we go under a lot with him.
We did. We hit over the 1 week. He had a good matchup, and he hit. I think we hit both times. So let's try and go 3-for-3. But I'm going under this time. Look, the line 61.5 rushing yards here. He's failed to hit that mark in 8 of his 12 games this season. That includes 4 of his past 5. He's only hit it twice since week 4. And let's look at those two games. One of them was against the Chargers. He had 27 carries. That's 9 more than his season high otherwise, right? So that's kind of the exception. We don't expect him to come close to that. The other was last week against the Lions. He barely hit the mark, and they've been terrible against running backs this season, so we kind of expected that. This week, he has the Dallas defense, 22nd in rushing attempts against, 23rd in rushing yards against, 19th lowest yards per carry allowed to running backs, and he himself has not been very efficient, 3.45 yards per carry, 1.43 after contact, both of those very poor. I have him at 14 carries in this game against Dallas. That would work out to a projection of 54 yards. So it's about 7.5 yards at -$1.10. I think it's worth the under.
Okay. I like it. And that was a late addition, right? That was a late addition to your card last night.
That was, yeah. It's funny. I actually wrote up a bunch on Daniel Jones. I love the unders, or the overs, excuse me, on Daniel Jones this week. He's rolled out a half hour later. So totally. And then they pull all the Giants props. So I'm a little behind this week. I got to do some catching up on the props.
Okay. So that's behind. Do you have anything Sunday night?
I do. I have Sunday night, the Seahawks Rams game, Russell Wilson over 1.5 passing touchdowns. So this one's minus $1.30. I usually don't like to go that low, but this one really does jump out to me. Look, he leads the NFL in passing touchdowns right now. He has 26. He's been terrific in this department. He had 35 in 2018. He had 34 in 2017. This is a trend for him. He's throwing a lot of touchdowns here. He has two or more touchdowns in 8 of 12 games this season. In 13 of 16 last season, in 12 of 16 in 2017. Again, he consistently can hit that 2+ touchdown mark. They're a run first team. We know that, but they've scored 68% of their touchdowns through the air. That's 12th highest in the league. And again, I always look at the play calling too, because sometimes those numbers can be fluky. Well, their expected rate is 67% based on their play calling. That is 11th in the league. So even though they run the ball, they do throw up plenty near the goal line. Rams defense, a neutral matchup. They've only allowed, they've allowed 18 passing touchdowns this season. That is 16th in the league, mid pack right now. They played in week 5. He had 4 touchdowns on only 23 pass attempts in that game. So again, I'm even at minus $1.30, Doug, I'm going to lean over.
Yeah, I can get behind that because a couple things. How has the Rams pass defense been since the trade, Jalen Ramsey?
It's been hit or miss. I mean, they're still getting beat up a corner. They do shadow with Ramsey at times, so they've been able to neutralize guys like Juju Smith-Schuster, for example. They'll move him around, but otherwise they're giving up points. I mean, they're still throwing Troy Hill out there, and teams are picking on him. So,
and how are the Rams against the run?
The Rams are, I think they're around mid-pack.
Okay. I feel like this is a really good play.
Yeah, I like this one a lot. I mean, you could see it in the juice, right? At minus $1.30 that there's.
I feel like it should be like, it's going to close like 180.
I think it will change.
And the guy's a top two MVP right now.
Yeah.
And now, granted, they run and he can run himself, but it's a guy that they do this is a good play.
Yeah. I might
have to add this to my bankroll bonanza with Mr. Murray.
There you go. And by the way, Rams against the run, it's kind of a mix of both, right? They faced a lot of carries, but their efficiency is terrific. They're only allowing 3.7 yards per carry. So, yeah, they're you want to throw on them, I think. You don't want to throw at Ramsey, but you want to throw away
just
from
the
him.
Way the design of the offense is, and he extends plays,
yeah,
and that leads to touchdown.
Yeah, they are. We talked about this before. They are way ahead of the league in terms of end zone targets, too. Second place. I mean, they throw it into the end zone. Will Disley, DK Metcalf. I mean, now you have Josh Gordon in the mix. They love to throw. Jacob Hollister's now getting them. They love to throw. Russell likes to throw the ball into the confines of the end zone. So plenty of opportunity to get 2+ scores here.
All right. Sounds good.
Right.
Good to have you on. Short and sweet. Let's go 2-0.
All right. Let's do it.
Stop. Hammer time.
Ooh, maybe that's what I'm thinking about, that Russell Wilson prop. Thank you, Bob Lee. Thanks to John Murray. And thanks to Mike Clay as well.
Just remember to put that bet in. Sometimes you talk about it.
I know. I've been pretty delinquent. But you know what? We're finishing strong. The gap is narrowed. I don't like to tell Murray what it is because I think he starts to panic. But I think I'm $8,000 behind, give or take a few hundred.
Just remember Sunday to tweet that bet in so that you can.
I think I might do it right now.
That would be the smart thing.
Yeah. Okay. We are adding it because I think the juice is going up. We'll add that for a dime, and I will tweet Murray as well.
You hear that, Murray?
Yeah, Murray. We're doing that for a dime. Minus $1.30. Russell Wilson over 1.5 passing touchdowns. Do you like that? You like that?
Kirk
Cousins.
Because Russell Wilson right now is just, he's an animal.
Yeah, he's pretty good, man. Where do you stand on all this the cliche stuff when we had him hot mic'd for Monday Night Football? A lot of criticism. That's how he's been forever.
If that's truly who he is, then I'm cool. Like, listen, it's not for everybody, but it's working. It's kind of like J.J. Watt takes a lot of heat for some of the things he does. But if that's who you are, then that's fine.
I think the heat is that I don't think people think that's who they are. I don't think J.J. I think that's forced. I think it's scripted. It's like Kelsey wants to be Gronk. There's only one Gronk.
Wilson is doing that because he's mic'd up? I think that's just who he is in the huddle.
Well, there was that piece that Spike Lee, I think, did with Kobe, and he was mic'd up for a game, and he was like going up to, he was interacting with players, and they're all looking at him funny, like, I've never seen this side of you. It was like trying to like speak Spanish in the middle of a game to Pau Gasol, and he's like looking at him like, what are you doing? Yeah. Now, we didn't get that from Russell Wilson's teammates, but don't for one second think that J.J. Watt and Wilson know that the mic's on when they're doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. But
now, I think Travis, you know, not Travis, Sam Darnold forgot about the mic with the ghost comment. So then there's that issue. So just some food for thought. Yeah. I'm not saying I know it all. I'm just saying it's food for thought. But let's stay hot. What do you think? We stay hot, close the gap, put some pressure on Murray.
That'd be nice. Let's do it.
All right.